Joining me, we have Governor John Hickenlooper. Thanks for talking to us today.
Glad to be here.
Back in January, one of the things you said is you wanted to focus on regulatory reform. And specifically, you talked about regulatory impact statements on bills that are introduced at the legislature. And I know Republicans are talking about moving forward in that direction for this session. Is that something you're working on them with?
Well, I think we'll be able to find a lot of common ground. We've already removed 800 regulations from the Department of Human Services. The application to apply for food stamps, it used to be 28 pages. Now, if you take off the 1.5-page introduction, it's 6 pages. Those kinds of improvements, not only do they save our citizens time, but they save time and money in terms of how long it takes our administrative team to process all those applications and all those various filings that people require.
So do you think it won't require new legislation?
Well, a lot of these things we can do in rules. You know, the Department of Revenue has been going around the state with this whole plan about pits and peeves. And what are those regulations that are onerous, that create red tape, that really aren't serving a public purpose, and how do we get rid of them? Now, some of those we are going to need legislation for.
Another issue from last session that's returning is civil unions. It narrowly failed. You said you do support civil unions. How active a role are you going to take in pushing that legislation?
So far, we've tried to respect the legislature. We like to let them swim in their own lane. So we haven't been trying to go in there and tell them, you should do this or you should do that. I think it's common knowledge within the legislature. I don't think government should be telling churches who they should marry and who they shouldn't marry. If you believe that people, just by their general nature, some people are born with a same-sex orientation, they should still be able to get the same legal rights of everyone else. And I, you know, believe that pretty much my whole life.
And the state recently passed a rule requiring public disclosure for fluids used in hydraulic fracturing. You were able to get the oil and gas industry and the environmental community to reach an agreement. This was an area of public policy that Governor Bill Ritter struggled with in terms of trying to reach consensus, and there was a lot of contentiousness. How did you try to approach it?
Somehow Governor Ritter's process got people inflamed, but I think it's worth mentioning that his rules are the foundation for everything we do now. So when we first decided we wanted to really encourage transparency from the point of view of fracking, one thing we did was we went to the oil and gas industry first and just said very directly, this is hurting the oil and gas industry, right? The level of suspicion and paranoia of what might be in a frack fluid. What are those people pumping into the ground beneath our communities? That paranoia was creating a really difficult problem for the oil and gas industry in terms of branding. And I kept saying, there's a way that you can be much more transparent and really disclose all the components, all the chemicals, all the concentrations, and still protect your trade secrets. I don't know what it is, but I know we can figure it out.
Do you think because you have a background in the industry, they seem to trust you more in terms of your maybe looking out for them rather than trying to get them?
Oh, I don't know. You'd have to ask them. You know, certainly there's a benefit. They tell me that I'm the first governor in the history of the United States that's a professional geologist, which I think is kind of almost unbelievable. I think I can speak the language of geology to the oil and gas industry in such a way that when they've got an issue, I think I understand it more directly and more viscerally, perhaps, than traditional elected officials.
Former Governor Ritter created the Energy Office to promote renewable energy in last session. Senate Democrats defeated a bill to expand the mission of that to include traditional forms of energy, oil and gas. I know you supported that. I understand this issue is coming back.
Well, we're trying to approach it with the same attitude that this is a compromise that benefits everyone. And while the Office of the Energy Office has real success in terms of promoting wind energy and solar energy, you know, natural gas, if we could get more vehicles, more trucks, more buses, more cars running on compressed natural gas, it's about $1.25 per gallon equivalent cheaper. So we save money. Our schools save money. Our businesses save money. It burns significantly cleaner than gasoline, so our air is cleaner. And thirdly, we stop sending billions of dollars over to foreign dictatorships for imported oil. Expanding the mission of the Energy Office to include that kind of a transitional fuel for, you know, we're not going to be able to get to a wind and a solar energy economy next week. There's going to have to be a transition. Natural gas is the perfect vehicle for that.
This is your second legislative session as governor. What did you learn last session that you're going to translate into the upcoming months?
One thing I learned certainly was how little I knew. So I learned a lot in terms of how the process works. And I really got to build a relationship with a lot of the state representatives and the state senators that is going to serve me very well in terms of identifying who to approach. If we think we've got a problem, who can help us resolve it? And who are the people that are good at finding compromises?
You've talked about tone and the bitterness of redistricting. Everyone has said, you know, they're trying to put it behind them. Are you going to try to do anything to facilitate that?
We will certainly do everything we can. You know, we've got a difficult session coming up. I mean, these are challenges for the entire state and for the country. I still believe that Colorado is a perfect place to demonstrate that Republicans and Democrats can work together after the election. Certainly, I would be open to looking at bills that would modify how we do reapportionment and redistricting so that it didn't become quite so bitter and so contentious.
Governor John Hickenlooper, thanks for talking to us.
Always a pleasure.
I'm Benta Berkland in Denver.